Amen. Thank you, Pastor Trent, Pastor Brian. I'm Pastor Corey. That's also not my first name either. Generally speaking, what I have the honor of doing is making you guys feel welcome. And today I get the privilege to bring the word. Now, when Brian told me that we were going to be in Ecclesiastes, I was like, you know what? Ecclesiastes 3, this is my thing. And let me tell you why I stupidly thought that. When I was in high school, because, you know, your brains are fully formed when you're in high school, right? I remember writing in so many yearbooks, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. And you'll see why that was not exactly the smartest thing to say at the time. But I'm so excited to jump back into Ecclesiastes with you this morning. We've been talking about finding meaning in a meaningless world. And that's not what that says, but I also can't read. And we're in chapter 3. And I've said, turn, turn, turn. And if you're old as dirt, no, I'm just teasing. If you're a little bit older, you might get the reference there. So we've been in Ecclesiastes for several weeks now. We're talking about searching for meaning in a world that doesn't have any. It's a really, really fun kind of study to be doing. So you're thinking, yeah, today should be great. Everybody should smile. Everybody should be happy, all that stuff. The cool thing about Ecclesiastes is there are really, especially in this passage too, there are really three different perspectives. And with the help of a corn maze, I'm going to show you how that works. But before we get to where we're going, we've got to figure out where we've been. So let's go back. Here's where we've been. Chapter 1, the first chapter. We found out that life is hevel. It's vapor. It's nothingness. It's that stuff you can't grasp. It's mist. It's transitory. And we're trying to find fulfillment in the created and not the creator is just vapor. It's hevel. It's trying to grasp at air. Apart from God, trying all the stuff, the things of the world, it's just going to leave us feeling restless, listless, and meaningless. So our key phrase there was the point of living is found in the purpose for creation by our creator. Creation was designed to draw us to praise the creator. So chapter two, Koheleth, this is the preacher, this is the guy that's talking, we think it's probably Solomon. He tries all this stuff, right? He tries things that are pleasureful. He tries living by wisdom. He tries doing work. And he sees again that there are these vapor trails that they don't stay. They don't sustain. They don't satisfy. And apart from God, we're still trying to hold on to that mist. This sounds like this is going to be a really fun day, huh? Right? So then that gets us to where we're going. In any situation that you find yourself in, it's God's portion for you for a season. In the good times, praise him, and in the hard times, seek him. Let me set this up for you. Let's jump right into scripture, because I want to get into the word before we start to talk about word. So you guys can read with me. We're in Ecclesiastes 3, starting right at the beginning. And it says, for everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Seems pretty timely, right? No pun intended. So this, every time, I'm singing to everything, turn, turn, turn in my head. And we could spend a whole sermon series just breaking down every one of these verses. But that's for another day, okay? So when we look at this passage, we've talked about all of these woes and the Koheleth, Solomon has been so much about how nothing fills the need And then he breaks out into this poem. That's what this is. In the middle of talking about vanities, vanity, 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 and this heavy, heavy stuff, if you like that perspective. And today what we're going to do is we're going to go on a journey together in understanding this big passage as a whole and understanding vision and understanding perspective. So, since we're talking about seasons, I would like you to know it is fall, y'all. It feels like fall. I was really worried it was going to be like 95 degrees outside. And I said, oh, this is not going to work. But we are talking about seasons, and fall is my favorite season. There is nothing. I love the colors. I love the pumpkin, everything. Yes, I am that pumpkin spice girl. I love everything about fall, the festivals, the seasons. I love it. And I, just as a side note, I believe that fall is the season that proves that change can be beautiful. You didn't even have to pay for that one. There is nothing I don't like about what fall is. All right. When my boys were little, there was a tradition we had. We would choose usually a Saturday or Sunday. We'd load two young children up in a car, and we would go to Lehman Farms. And we would take them, and we would go to a corn maze. So has anybody ever done that? Let me see your hand. Okay, good. Then you'll be tracking with me today. I have zero sense of direction, so we'd always get lost. I always, you know, kind of let Brad rule the roost on that. If you've never gone, well, you're fixing to go today, okay? So what we're going to do with this corn maze, this field trip, is it's going to help us to gain some perspective in this passage, okay? Keeping that the main idea is in any situation you find yourself in, it's God's portion for you for a season. In the good times, we praise him, and in the hard times, we seek him. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a virtual field trip, no pun intended again, together. All right, you guys ready? Okay. What is it? Oh, and if nobody says a big lump with knobs, I am so disappointed in all of you. Yeah, it's corn, right? This is a harmless cornfield, right? So if I am in relation to the corn maze, where am I right now? If I'm standing looking at this perspective, where am I? I'm on the outside. Very good. You guys are very perceptive. There we go. All right. So how about this one? Yeah. Which part of the corn maze are we in? Yeah, we're inside of it. Hey, there we go. We're inside. It looks a lot different. It looks similar to the outside. And this is the place where we're trying to find our way through, right? This is how we lose people, right? We get lost in the mazes. Because I don't know if you guys know, but from this picture, I have no idea which is the right direction. Do you? Me neither. All right, last one. How about now? What part of the corn maze are we at? Where are we in perspective to the corn maze? Yeah. We're up above, right? This is like the bird's eye view. You have to get in a helicopter or, you know, have Google Earth or something to look at it, right? So it looks totally different than those first two pictures that I showed you. You can't see this standing on the ground, right? You guys track it with me, right? You got to have helicopter, Google Earth, skydiving. So three locations are three different perspectives, and we're going to apply those perspectives to Ecclesiastes today. So the location is the perspective. The first one we're going to talk about is the outside, okay? So imagine we're back at our corn maze, and this is the as-is, right? We're seeing things at face value. And if you look at that field of corn, it looks pretty safe, right? Just looks like some corn. And yeah, it looks okay. This one's easy. The outside is the easy part. Like, you could walk around the perimeter and not get lost, right? Unless you're me, I could probably get lost. But you could walk around the outside of it and never get lost. There are different times for different experiences of life. That's the way we're reading this part of the text. That's a given, right? There's a time to be born, a time to die, time to gather, time to throw away, things like that. So there's something in this for everybody. Everybody can understand the outside because everybody's everybody has seen or has experienced or knows, understands corn, right? Yeah. So here we are, right? We're on the outside. All right. So what the outside does, what us looking at the scripture at the text at surface level, we can say, so it's this or that, it's this or that, it's this or that. It acknowledges the wisdom of these different times, right? It acknowledges that there is a time for each activity. And, you know, Koheleth uses it here in like this dichotomy poem kind of form. But there's a time for this and there's a time for that. There's a time to plant. There's a time to sow. There's a time to speak. There's also a time to harvest and to tear and to be silent. And if you look at this from surface level, there is some tremendous freedom in this. Can I tell you that? Can I be like real with you here? There's a tremendous freedom in knowing that it's okay to be in that, what we would consider pessimistic kind of part. It's okay to not be okay. It's an okay to know that it's not always going to be a season of everything going great for you. There's not always going to be a season of harvest. Sometimes you're going to have to be planting. There's not always going to be a season of everyone getting along and knitting together. Sometimes you've got to rend it. Sometimes it's got to be broken to be made whole. There is such freedom in knowing and understanding that to be true. It's freedom from the lie. And you guys have eaten this lie because I have eaten this lie. It's the Christian life is always good. I think we said something about it in our 9:30 Bible study this morning. We, as a culture, have bought into this, right? That once you know Christ, and I believed it as soon as I became a believer, once you know Christ, everything's going to be sunshine and roses. And it's not. Does anybody think it's all sunshine and roses?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're all on the same page here. But what we can say, even if it's not, even if X, Y, and Z, even if the house falls, even if the spouse leaves, even if we lose it all, that there is a purpose in this. And we can't see it sometimes from the outside. We're getting there. And we can say in that purpose, in that every stage, that's God's portion for us. And I went on a tangent because I said, what does God's portion mean? Because I wanted to know. And I think if I looked it up, some of you would probably Google it too. So our portion is kind of like our inheritance. And it really would have made sense in the culture in which this is being preached, in the Hebrew culture, because inheritance meant security. See what I'm saying? So God's portion is our inheritance. It's our security. And it's God's, in other words, allotment, inheritance, provision of security. And for those that who are known and know, who know him and are known by him, that's our hope. That's our hope. We don't know sometimes what times that we're in. You guys ever get in this? And you think that job is really going to be great? And it's the thing that you think you should have and that God wants you to have. And you get in it and it is awful. And you're barely hanging on. You're hanging on by your toenails. Maybe it's the friend that is just hostile to Christianity. So what do? Do you speak? Do you stay silent? What happens when your friend, your kid, your spouse betrays you? Do you pull everything up by the roots? Or do you try to heal it? What do you do in those situations? What do you do? Because it's not black and white. Can anybody tell me that the life is black and white?
No.
Okay, good. No, it's not black and white. It can't be. There's so many shades of gray. That's why the outside, looking at the scripture just at the surface level, doesn't really work. So what do you do in those times when you don't know what to do? Praise God in the good stuff. Seek him in the hard stuff. Pray to him for a check in your spirit. And I know that sounds crazy and abstract, but when it happens to you, you will know. God, give me a check in my spirit if this is not what you have for me. God will speak to you. Sometimes he whispers, but do not think that he won't use a megaphone if absolutely necessary. So listen the first time. It usually works out better. So the outside shows us the importance of balance, of the this and that, of discernment, of seeing what is God doing, what's God up to, remaining suspicious that God is up to something good, and seeking God in all things, in good times through praise, and in hard times through seeking his will. So we've covered the outside, okay? So where are we again here? Inside. So we have entered the maze. This is not quite as pretty as the other photo, right? This looks a little bit more treacherous because it's, you know, two roads, and I don't know where either of them go. This is more real, right? This feels more real to us. So as we get deeper in the maze, as we move from the outside to the inner side, as we read a little bit deeper into the text and into the context, we look at it, we go, oh, that's not so easy. The word, the context is that there, it's not neat and positive. It's not black and white. It's not good versus evil. There's this weird area of gray, green, blue, black, red, right? Who knows? From the inside, the entire book of Ecclesiastes is like trying to figure out how to get all A's in every subject and then still flunking life and figuring out what to do with that. And so that's where Koheleth is through this whole thing, this preacher. He looks at it all, which is chapters 1 through 2 so far, and then we'll get into some other ones too. He looks at pleasure. He looks at wealth. He looks at power. He looks at social standing. And it is everything the world says will give life meaning. It's everything the outside would tell you. Hey, this is what makes life matter. You know what he figures out? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And the words of the great prophet Jim Carrey, here's what Jim Carrey says. He says, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that that's not the answer. We were on the way here. We were driving by and like, oh, the Powerball is up to $1.55 billion. What will we do with that money? Nothing wrong with that. If that's your thing. But maybe it's not everything that we ever dreamed of. Now, Jim Carrey said this in March 2006. Sorry, Jim. Solomon already gave us this info in about 930 BC. And exactly, this is the exact of what Ecclesiastes is about. It's that money, service, wisdom, stuff is not enough. And in chapter 3, I'm getting ready to blow your minds here, we see that even time is meaningless. Real fun, right? It's good stuff. Wait, we're getting there. So I want to take a second. I want to unpack that thought that time is meaningless. I don't want you to think that we're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. But I want you to understand this. Now, God is outside of time. We are inside of time. Time is circular, right? So you're born and then you die. You're born, you crawl, you walk, you run, you ride mountain bikes, and then you die, right? There's no progress, right? It's the same cycle over and over and over and over and over again, right? That's how humans work. We're born, we die, we plant, we harvest, we weep, we laugh, and time is a maze. It just keeps going. And it turns back on itself, and it leads to nowhere in particular. It's just repetition. And it's here that we're going to pick back up in the text. Verse 9. What gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. Wow, this is going really, really well. Koheleth, help me out here, man. So he just kind of goes, throws his hands up, and he's like, what is the point. He's just done this beautiful poem about it's a time to do this and a time to do that. And then he just says, what's the flipping point? If you keep reading later in the chapter, in the Koire Standard Version, Revised Standard Version, of course, he says it's all meaningless. It's all pointless. Every tick of the clock and every activity under the sun is for nothing. Right. Justice? That's worthless. What about righteousness? No, no, no. Righteousness is tainted. What about stuff? What about things? Yeah, that's trivial. This temporal world, this is insignificant. We all came from the dust, and right back to the dust we're headed. Everything that we own goes in a box, and our family, several generations down the line, might know us by name, but they won't know us. And is anybody else getting really bummed out right now? Yes, I am. I said, oh, this was not fun. I should not have picked chapter 3. But here we are. Here's the key to this. And it'll bring us to our next perspective, and it'll wrap everything up. And I think that I can get you to see some optimism in this. Under the sun. Under the sun is used 37 times in a very short book in Ecclesiastes. 37 times. And I tell you, if God writes it down, he does not waste space on the page. It's already a big book. Can you imagine if it was bigger? And he repeats things to make sure you understand them. Now, if he says under the sun 37 times, I think he wants us to understand. Under the sun is a world without God in the picture. Think about that. If you're under the sun, then you're under just the temporal world. Above the sun would be something there. And Koheleth is telling us this stuff, the things that are happening in this world this time, this does not matter. This is meaningless. This time is junk. And he's standing in the middle of it, in the middle of the maze, in between two forks going, I can't figure this out. This is a maze. It's meaningless. There's nothing above the sun. And there are plenty of songwriters, from great bands like Nirvana and the Smashing Pumpkins, Velvet Underground, that's already pulled this curtain way back for us. And they'll tell us that the life under the sun is a joke. It is a messed up, twisted joke. Even the band Ministry in the fall says this is, they say everything is useless. Nothing works at all. Nothing ever matters. Welcome to the fall. You're welcome. This is a result of sin entering the world, and nothing works the way it was designed because this is not where we belong, friends. I want you to take a deep breath. Okay, in with it. I'm not preaching nihilism. I'm not telling you that nothing meets anything. But what I do want you to know is that I think that Scripture is the ultimate authority. And it's clear, crystal clear. In Ecclesiastes, that if we live with God on the outside, on the periphery, if we don't know him and are known by him, that downer stuff, yeah, that's all true. That's the truth. And I don't want you to miss what it could be like, what for some of you it may be like. And that all the time that we're spending in these temporal bodies is useless, and every tick of the clock is empty, because if we live a life just under the sun and not seeking what's above the sun, it's empty. So you ready to give up yet? I was. It's like, honestly, I'm ready to plop right down in the middle of the corn maze, which I might have done before, and phoned a friend to come and find me. That may or may not have happened. I'm ready to plop down in the middle of the maze and say, it's over. I'm done with this. I'm overburdened by despair and angst and agita. And yet, we get this perspective. Where is this one again? The up above. Let's go right into verse 10. I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I see the burden that God has laid on this human race, that sin entered the world, and God said, well, it's a good thing I already had a plan for this, right? And then he gives us this precious kernel of hope. And yet he has made everything beautiful. And it's, what's that last word? Time. He put eternity in man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. That's right after this pretty poem, and you're going to forget it. So here we are, friends. This is our window to the skies. This is what's beyond the sun, above the sun. We get to see God and see that those seasons, this and that, and those times that we can't choose between the two routes, we see it becomes beautiful in his timing. When we see God, we see him setting eternity in the hearts of man. And what that means is that we long, we all do, for something bigger than ourselves. Something bigger. There has to be more than what's here, right? There's got to be more than hours and minutes and clocks and seasons and years and eras. There has to be more. Something above the sun, something more. Want to know why? Because God wants immeasurably more for you than you want for you. He wants more for you. He is outside the corn maze looking at you going, oh, I love that one. I love them. God wants immeasurably more for you than you want for yourself. It is up to you to choose whether you're going to follow what he has for you. We do this thing where we chase the lies of the enemy, the desires of our flesh, the calls of this world, our culture, because we're made for more. We're made with a God-sized hole. And we will try to fill that God-sized hole in our lives with everything, with food, with money, with relationships that was never meant to fill it. We will try to put everything in there and make it work. And it never does. And we do this insane thing where we move from one to the other. If I just had more money, if I just had a better car, if I just had a nicer house, if I had a better person in my life, if I had this, if I had that, I would just be satisfied. And guess what, beloved? You will never be satisfied because the hole you're trying to fill is a God-sized hole that only God can fill. There is eternity set in our hearts. That eternity is made for God, and thank God for that. Thank God for that. Because what if this world that we're living in, is all of it? Anybody else? I'm done. This is it. That's the hope that we have in our Father. Our souls are yearning, are calling out for something bigger, more immense, more powerful from above the sun. So even just in case you distrust me, this is just Old Testament, Corey, and this is I want to show you this. He who comes from above is above all. He who comes from heaven is above all. John 3:31. That's New Testament, right? These are the Gospels. Who you think said that? Hey, that's the right answer. This is church. It's always Jesus. Brown gets acorns, fuzzy tail, definitely Jesus. Okay? So he who comes from above all is above all, and he who comes from heaven is above all. Huh? Even Jesus says it, right? Let me give you another one. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. John 3:36. Who said that one? Hey, you're on a roll. Very good. Jesus says this too. He says, hey, I'm going to make you live forever. I have set eternity in your heart. It's here. I'm part of this. All right. And he said to them, this is so plain. I love it. This is so plain because it's like Jesus couldn't be any plainer with words here. He said to them, you are from below and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. He says it so plainly. He says, if there is no above, there is only below. If there is no trust in Christ, Christ is that bridge, right? We can't get to God. Sin kind of messed that up for us, the fall, you know, the whole apple thing. You know, when sin entered the world, it messed up that relationship. We can't be with God because God is holy. He's set apart in unapproachable light. We can't go there. And he said, you know what? Those things that I created, I love them. I love them a whole lot. So much so that in the place for the wrath that they deserve, I'm going to pour out the wrath on this person I'm going to send to live a perfect life. He's going to be perfect. He's going to teach him things. And when the time comes, I'm going to let people kill him horribly. Hang him on a cross, naked. It's not a good look. And then he's going to die. And then 3 days later, he's going to come back from the dead. And it sounds crazy, right? Like if you're the outside looking in, doesn't that sound a little bit nuts? But it's the truth. It's what God planned for us. It's what he gave us. He said, Jesus said, you're from below and I'm from above. And you're here and I'm not. And I'm going to go back there and I'm going to make a place for you to be with me. Beloved, if you are just living life below, you are in a meaningless cycle of minutes until you go to the grave. That's it. But here's what Jesus says. And this is eternal life, that they know you are the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Could this be more black and white? We've been living in areas of gray today, right? But could this be more black and white? Above is Jesus. It's not just an eternity that we long for, that we hope for. It's a reality for us that know him, the one who brings meaning. He gives us the meaning. It can't be meaningless anymore if he gives us meaning to our hours, our days, our years. He entered time. He came into the meaningless cycle of time. And he broke the cycle by doing something completely new. He died and then he came back. He resurrected from the dead. And if you know him, you know. Right? If you know, you know. And if you do not know Christ, I pray that you won't leave today without him. So just with eternity set in your hearts and secured through Christ in any situation you find yourself in, it's God's portion for you for that season. In the good times, you'll praise him. In the hard times, you'll seek him. And in all times, you'll thank him. I wish I could go and work everything out for you. But the outside, there's a time for everything. The inside, time under the sun is meaningless. And the up above, time is redeemed. Let's take a second and let's pray together.